Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about playing in the dirt. I love playing in the dirt. I bought a tractor. I love playing in the dirt so much. I like go out, dig holes, move dirt around. Sometimes I just pick it up one part of the yard, put it in the other part of the yard, whatever. It's just a great time. I mean, kids have been doing it, you know, 2 years old on. You're like, I'm going to go play in the dirt. Some start even younger. All right. So caching, burying supplies. Kevin, why would we even want to do that? Like, I don't even understand. Why would I want to put my awesome new toys in the dirt?
Right. I mean, why not keep them in your basement where you're already keeping all your stuff? Why not keep it in the cupboard, you know? Someplace where you can
in the nice, safe, dry area,
sure,
right?
Everything stays in good shape. Well, there's a couple of reasons why you might want to move stuff around and why you not want to have all your eggs in one basket. One thing is, we've talked about this before, but in emergency situations, it's somewhat legal for the government to come and take your stuff and spread it out to everybody else in the community.
Yeah, I think they came up with that ugly word, hoarder, right? They like to say, well, you're hoarding supplies, and it's not fair. Why would it be fair for you to have tons of cool shit when the government doesn't have anything? I mean, they use every penny they get to take care of you, and you go in and just, you know, take things, and, you know, they're just so generous and kind, sharing everything, and you're just stockpiling everything and squirreling it away. You should be sharing too.
Yeah, not only that, but there's, you know, there's also things that you may own now that are legal may not always be legal. You might have things in your basement that suddenly are worthless and you need to turn them in before you get caught, or find a place to put them where people won't be digging around. Chuck and I do this podcast, so we're first on the list, man. They're going to show up at our house as soon as anything goes wrong and try and snatch all our stuff up.
Well, the trick is to have a really big backyard.
That's it.
And that way, it's a little tougher to...
Yeah. Now, another reason you might want to do a hidden cache is, in case you have to bug out. If you're bugging out and planning on going to another location, you might want to stash some fuel someplace or some things to bring along with you that you might not necessarily be able to throw in the truck on the way out. You know, if the gas stations are closed, you might not be able to get where you're going on one tank of gas. Things like that.
Also, sometimes just
even caching your supplies on your own property where, think if you're overrun or your house burns down or, you know, any number of events could play out where having a backup set of supplies that you can go back to, even if they're on the same property, but something you can go back and retrieve later, you know, instead of having your stockpile on display right in your, you know, what is it they say? Don't keep all your eggs in one basket.
That's right. That's right. And another reason to have that is, you know, if you just have a backup location, you know, a remote survival location, you know, that's a good spot to have your caches at. One thing about burying it in your yard you want to be conscientious of is that, you know, companies will come have a right to dig through your property in certain locations, you know, when it comes to power lines and water lines and things like that. So you want to be conscientious of where those lines are, that somebody isn't accidentally digging up your stuff for you before you before you want.
Yeah, that or that you don't dig up the phone lines that run through your front yard, or you know the power lines, even worse, right?
Right. When you're trying to bury your cache.
Some of you guys who are a little less, maybe in the contractor world or whatever, maybe you've noticed those stickers that say "Call 811." Before you, right, dig, before you dig, call before you dig, right? Turns out, so I've actually called that number. I can tell you, I know you have too in your line of work. You've probably come across it as well. But when I bought my new property, you know, and when I was in New York, I knew, you know, where everything was, and we were pretty remote where there were no utilities and, you know, no anything kind of out there. Everything, you were on your own. You had to have your own well and septic, which I do here, but there's still, you know, power lines run throughout the property. And here they are buried as opposed to in New York. I had, you know, ones from the pole that you could see. Turns out trees fall down left and right where I live. So, you know, burying them is a better move. But what I noticed is when I called, it's supposed to notify everybody who could possibly have things buried on your property. And they have the opportunity. You're supposed to give them like a week, maybe it's 2 weeks, to come out and do it, you know, to mark everything. Nobody showed up. One guy showed up at the very end, and he ended up being from the, you know, call before you dig place. He wasn't from the power company. He wasn't from all those people said they tried to go and that they couldn't get onto the property, which is a total lie and whatever. But, you know, we won't talk about that because with COVID, nobody was going out. There's always people here, you know. But anyway, they did come out. The guy from, you know, from the 811 or whatever. And they mark the lines and they tell you how deep they are and you know a pretty good idea where everything is. That's pretty cool. That's useful for anybody who's doing, you know, stuff on your property and any kind of work. That's something, you know, obviously I'm not going to call them every time I dig a hole, but now that I have an idea of where everything is, I know, hey, I can, you know, go freely over here and dig without concern, and other places I need to be more careful. Like Kevin said, it's great to make sure that somebody doesn't come along your, find your stash and be like, hey, look, somebody buried a box of money. Let me take that. Or, right, hey, here's five cans of ammo that, turns out, you know, ammo is $1 around now and I'd love to have that, you know? So a good way to protect your stuff is kind of by playing by the rules. So something to keep in mind, doesn't cost you anything. Not something you can take advantage of all the time, but you know, something you could do to kind of get a better idea of what's going on your property. So what kind of stuff would you even put in a cache, Kevin? Like what are we?
Well, you know, it really depends on you and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, if you're trying to hide, you know, maybe you accidentally came upon some automatic weapons that you don't want to be in possession
what?
Of. What? You know, who knows? Who knows what could be happening? But there's a lot of different ideas. You know, I saw one guy had found he had bought a one of those storage lockers.
Yeah.
It had auctioned off. You know, somebody had stopped paying for it and auctioned it off. And he found some stuff in there that had some coordinates. And it ended up being not too far from where he was in Utah. And he went out there searching for it with a metal detector. And he got a small hit and started digging. And he found a trash bag. And inside the trash bag was a big plastic case that was sealed shut. And when he opened it up, he found all sorts of stuff in there. There were MREs, firearms, you know, handguns and ammo. Had some water purification stuff, some bottles of water, and had two packages of $10,000 each. Now, that seems like a pretty good stash to find, but I don't know that I would store a bunch of cash in a cache. You know,
well, I mean, it is in the name.
20 grand anyway. Yeah.
No.
That's it.
Well, I mean, maybe 500 bucks.
Yeah. If you bury some money in there and you dig it up 10 years later, that money's not going to be worth anywhere near what it was worth when you buried it. You know,
inflation will rob you. And right. Believe it or not, if you don't protect it well, money will deteriorate very right. quickly.
Mm-hmm. So what I would go for is, you know, let's start with the food. You know, if you're burying okay. stuff, the main enemy is water. You know, you really want to keep the moisture out. And we'll get into that a little bit further in, you know, in the podcast here. But you, when you're doing food, you want to make sure you have something that's sealed up good. Like canned food can be good. Dried sealed foods is what you want. MREs are really good because they're, you know, they're sealed in a heavy, you know, heavy plastic package.
Okay.
Another thing I would want to think about is like, water. Now you may not necessarily want to just bury bottles of water. They should be fine, but it's, you know, it seems to me that's, you know, unless you're out in a desert or something where, you know, it could be a real emergency when you get there. I would focus more on like purification tablets and water filters and, you know, things like that, you know, yeah. even bottles and containers for
yeah.
it would be, another good thing would be, fire starters, cigarette lighters, waterproof matches. Another idea is along with that, with the warmth is, maybe a good, you know, a good jacket or, you know, sweatshirt or, you know, wool socks, things like that, that you might not actually have a change of when you get there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are some ideas to keep in mind. We talked about guns and ammo a little bit, but we should also touch on that because, you know, water can really destroy a firearm real fast if you're not careful about it. Same thing with ammo. You know, a little bit of rust on the casing of an ammo, and you could, you know, cause yourself an issue when you fire it off. It might, you know, might jam in the barrel, and it might, you know, might damage the gun just trying to use bad ammo. Another thing
they
I
say
think
keep
about,
your powder dry, right?
That's right. So you want to be conscientious with the guns and ammo that you really do a good job sealing them up well. And
oil is your friend when you're mm-hmm. storing guns.
That's right.
You know, they say when you're storing your gun for, you know, a longer term, when you clean it, you basically want to use almost twice the amount of oil that you normally would with a regular cleaning. I leave it on really, you know, fairly thick, and then I go in and clean it again before use. This is if I'm putting something away where I'm planning on not touching it for a year or more. Not, you know, in between shooting where I'm going to have that gun out in a month or less, then that's, you know, not really right, a thing right. for me, but extra oil is definitely your friend when it comes to, protecting against moisture. It's one more layer, but if you allow any moisture to get in, cause then what happens is you get condensation. I used to see it. I'd work with, like air conditioning and stuff like that. People would think, oh, I'm going to protect my air conditioner by putting a cover on it because they'll have these permanent ones that, you know, stay out all year. They'll put a cover on it, and those ones are always destroyed, you know, come the spring. You always go out, and it's just full of rust, and they really, you know, get much worse than if you let it naturally, you know, rainfall on it and then dry off, because the water sits, because you'll basically get that condensation buildup. So if the humidity can get into the, you know, thing that you're burying, you're really asking for trouble, and, you know, moisture just destroys so quickly.
Right. Right. Yeah. Another good thing to have in those, in a cache would be tools, you know, maybe tools that are heavy that you don't want to carry with you and you might be able to access later. You know, a lot of these caches are great if you, you know, put them in smaller containers and, you know, you can have like a, like a multi-tool or something like that. But if you have a bigger cache, something like hatchets, axes, we talked about firearms, but tools like that where you that are bigger and you might not really want to have in your bug out bag because it's, you know, going to weigh you down, this might be something, a good place to store those types of items.
Right.
Another good thing is things like fishing line, fishing hooks, hand crank radios, you know, so you can hear what's going on in the world when your batteries run out and you're out in the woods somewhere. Another thing that I saw on when I was reading up on this that I saw somebody had put in there was pornography.
Really?
Alcohol, tobacco, and weed.
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis. And they said that these are all things that would be good, you know, trading items, which I agree, but, you know, maybe you just like porno and you need a magazine.
And you need that. Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. I was at work the other day and we had, you know, when Christmas comes and whatever, the place that I work shuts down for normal production, but maintenance ends up using that time while they're shut down to do all the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up putting in a lot of long days in a short period of time. So anyway, what they came up with was, you know, with OSHA and everything, we sent out these things about how, you know, for safety, how we're going to deal with the stress of, you know, working 10 hours a day for, you know, 30 days straight in a row, because believe it or not, that's about how long we do it. And so they're like, how do you deal with that stress? And I know one of my coworkers was, well, I plan to masturbate at lunch every day. And so, you know, I imagine the end of the world would also be a stressful time. And that pornography might help you get there. There you go.
Yeah. Now, me personally, I don't feel like any of these items are going to be very useful. But, I mean, it really depends on your own situation when it comes to that sort of stuff. It's more of if you're looking if you got some space left over there and you're looking for something to throw in there, you know, maybe alcohol would be a good thing to stash in there. But personally, I think that would be a waste of space for.
Well, here's the thing: if I was out digging in my yard and I came across 5 bottles of alcohol buried,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't complain.
Yeah,
I would find that as a pleasant surprise. You know, come out of the ground. It's even chilled already. You know, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, you're already ready to go. Maybe bury a couple of nice lowball glasses in there with the bottles, and then you're set for a good afternoon.
There you go.
All right. So, you know, when it comes to these caches, one of the main problems that I see with these is that the cache itself, the container that you're putting your stuff in, deteriorates. You know, the stuff breaks down, ground shifts, you know, streams flood and you know, might pick up your box up out of the ground and move it, you know, 500 yards down the stream bed. So you do have to be conscientious of where you're putting it and make sure you can find it, because, you know, it's kind of fucking stupid if you have all your stuff and, you know, you have to spend 3 days digging fucking holes all over the place looking for it, you know. So make sure it's something you can track down. You can put it someplace with, you know, a bunch of metal over top of it. You know, I saw some of the guys were burying old stuff that they were finding in the area. you know, like old soda cans and things like that, so that if a metal detector guy did come out there, he would be finding that stuff first. But also, yeah, you would be able to find it with a metal detector because you know the general area that it's in. And once you get that metal hit, you know that, you know, it's a foot below that can.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my neighbors came up to me the other day and was like, hey, you know, on my, he actually had a business card made up and whatever. And I don't know, it had some thing that he is, but it basically is somebody that likes to play with metal detectors, whatever that means. And he had a business card made up about, you know, whatever. So he's like, oh, you know, I know that your property has, you know, buildings that are hundreds of years old on it. And I'd love to, you know, come out and see what, you know, what I could find in your property. And I was thinking, gee, after working on my rusty truck from New York, there's so many little pieces of metal all over the yard.
He's going to be hitting that everywhere.
He's going to be hitting it everywhere. I'm like, well, I know that one time I lost a ring, and I went out with the metal detector to try and find it. And it ended up being where, like, they keep trash, like where the garbage cans were. And there was so much stuff buried there, little bottle caps and little pieces of garbage and everything, that, man, everything hit with the metal detector. And there'd always be something there, but it was like, you know, little garbage. One of the things, I feel like if you took a handful of coins and just threw them out every, you know, couple of places in the property, you could really mess with somebody with a metal detector. That's all I'm saying.
You know, and you could do, you know, you can do a lot of stuff. You know, you can, you know, say, you know, 15 feet from this oak tree, or,
right,
you know, pile rocks up in a way that doesn't look too unusual, but unusual enough that, you know, you can spot it, you know, things like that, you know, little tricks like that. But, you know, you have to also be conscientious that if you're digging underneath the tree, you're going to have to deal with roots. If you're digging, you know, if you're digging in certain areas, you're going to have, you know, certain issues. A lot of places are so rocky that you can only get down, you know, a few feet, you know, with it, with some real back-breaking work, you know.
Right.
So it is something to be conscientious about. Now we're talking about burying things, but that isn't the only way you can hide a cache. You know, I've seen people, who was on the Facebook page a couple of weeks ago, was it Brian, that was putting some PVC pipe together, gluing caps on the end of either one. That's a really good way to do a cache, you know, cause that PVC pipe is thick enough that it's not going to break. It's not going to rust. It's not porous that it's going to let water in. But you know, I've seen people take those and hang them up in trees. You know, if you paint it all brown or whatever, you know, similar color to the bark, and you hang it up in a tree, it's not going to be real visible, but you want to be conscientious that you're not using, like hemp rope. You want to use, you know, you want to use like a plastic based rope, nylon or something like that. That's not going to rot when it gets wet. But there's three basic materials that you can use as a container. So there's wood, you know, wood's good, sturdy stuff, but you know, it is porous, and it absorbs water. And if you're burying it in a wet area, that wood's going to decompose real fast. So you want to be conscientious of that.
Right.
Of that. You know, and metal has a similar situation where it can rust. Now, if you have a good paint job on your metal and you have it, you know, real sealed up, or you have stainless steel or something like that, it's gonna do a much better job, you know, standing up to the elements underground for an extended period of time. But I was looking at some time capsules that they had done. One was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 1957. They buried a drum and a Plymouth Belvedere, and they had a raffle to see who would win it in 50 years. And 50 years later, when they dug it up, 2007, water had gotten in there and just destroyed that Plymouth. You know, they took it to shops, and there is nobody that would be able to do anything to fix that thing back up. And it was just destroyed. Water is your enemy. You know, it will destroy your stuff. So you really want to be conscientious about sealing up your cache. You know, you don't want to just throw all that shit in the garbage that you, that you're saving. No. You know? Especially if it's something, you know, valuable, like, you know, firearms. You know, that can be a lot of money just thrown right in the fucking garbage because, you know, because some water got in there and ate up your stuff.
Yep. No, that's it. You know, it's like, yeah, I could dig a root cellar and I could dig a pond. And I'm like, I'm not sure what the difference would be when I dig them. And you're like, wait a minute. You know, right. You're definitely, you got to realize water wants to, you know, fill holes when it rains and whatever. And that moisture is going to find a way to get in.
Right. And right. I know my property here where I'm at, you know, I've got about 3 feet before I start hitting a water table. So right. Digging in my backyard and putting stuff in my backyard is not going to be something I'm going to be doing. It's going to be, I'm going to have to find a different location for any of my caches.
When you look at Kevin's backyard and you see a big pile of dirt that looks like a 55-gallon drum kind of spread out, yeah. You'll know what's going on there. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I wonder. That's a weird, like maybe an anthill or something. Not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
That's it. I'll just set fire ants on top of mine. And
there you go.
Mm-hmm. You know.
The other option is plastic. Now, plastic really holds up well underground. You know,
they used to say, they used to have commercials, plastic is forever.
Right.
Turns out they don't use those commercials anymore because turns out forever was like 10, 15 years. And then.
Yeah, it doesn't last forever.
But no, it does hold up very well. Thick
plastic, you know, you don't want to just wrap your things in a garbage bag and throw it in the ground and expect that that's going to.
Right. There are different grades of plastic. But anyway, go on.
Those 55-gallon drums that you're talking about actually are a really good quality plastic to bury, you know, but you also have to be conscientious when you're burying something like that. You got to dig a hole for a 55-gallon drum. It's a big ass hole, you know,
it's a big ass hole.
And rodents can chew through plastic and they will chew through plastic if they, you know, if they have a reason to do it. So,
so I used to, have chickens. Well, I still have chickens, but, at a different location, I had chickens and, occasionally one would die, you know, nature would come and take it and whatever. So I'd take it and bury it. Turns out even up to like 2 feet, odds are something would come in the night, coyotes, whatever, foxes, and they would dig it up and they would take it. So 2 feet, their sense of smell is phenomenal. And you got to realize animals will dig up your cache if you do not protect it. And so needs to be deep enough covered, maybe hard enough for them to get at. You know, if you had like a sheet of plywood or something over it and then dirt, you know what I'm saying? You put your cache in the ground, then you put plywood and whatever, something that it's going to make it a little tougher for something to dig into. Now, they do have like ground penetrating radar, but you got to remember what kind of resources does somebody come and looking at your backyard have to, you know, figure out what you got hidden. You do want a small footprint. You do want, you know, to make it so that metal detector and things like that, it's not going to be blatantly obvious. But again, if you have a big area, you know, who knows? Anyway, something to think about. You know, I don't know why you'd ever want to bury anything. You should just leave everything on your front porch for everybody to see is what I always say.
Right, right. Just leave it out.
Leave it
see
out.
What happens. Wait for the porch pirates. Now, I think that, you know, I think that metal, I had seen some people that had been built or some buried some metal canisters. And what they were using was, it was a... something the U.S. military was military surplus, and they got it for about $12. But it was about 36 inches long and about 6 inches in diameter, and it was used to store charges for tanks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you know, it was real cheap. It was heavy duty. It was thick, and it had like a sealed lid with a rubber seal.
Now I always see missile cases.
Right.
I see the missile storage cases, things like that. I see I don't know, all kinds of military surplus. They have a lot of different things that'd be excellent for burial. The other thing is you're going to want to put in some kind of a moisture absorber inside. Right. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you can buy those, what is it, desiccant packets or what are they called? I don't know. Right. Anyway, and you could buy, they have bags and stuff you see with like the gun safes that they're always trying to sell you to put in there to absorb moisture. Also, the poor man's version is they say just take like a sock and put a bunch of rice in it. The rice mm-hmm. will absorb the moisture. And, you know, that's something you might want to consider. But definitely having something that you can seal up and you want to put it in there. You don't want to go out there and close it up on the hot, humid day when things are, you know, brutal. You want to have it dry going in mm-hmm. and then, you know, when you seal it up. So just be aware of what you're doing. And, you know, conscious of it. Yeah. But being able to bury something that you can completely seal and that, you know, even if it has like rubber gaskets and stuff, you want something that's not going to deteriorate or dry rot and turn into nothing.
Well, you know, one of the other options is not burying it at all. You know, you could put your cache, you know, someplace that's off the beaten path, you know, underneath some trees and cover it up with a camo tarp. And, you know, as long as you don't have a whole lot of food smells coming there, you know, the animals aren't really going to try and get in there. You know, just make sure everything's sealed up good. You know, especially even if you have metal containers, they're not going to rust as fast if they're above ground with a tarp over top of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good way to store stuff in. And then you don't have to bring a shovel with you when you're, you know, when you're going to find your cache. You can just roll up on it and open it up and get what you need.
So you're saying when you're exhausted and you just hiked 5 miles to get to your location, bad guys are chasing you, whatever. You also don't have to dig 3 feet down in the ground.
That might be a better way to go.
All right. Mm-hmm. I see that you have options here.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you run the risk of somebody stumbling upon that a lot more than accidentally digging up your cache. But, yeah. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, that are in the prepper community live in more rural areas where you can kind of get out in the middle of nowhere where nobody's going for the past 100 years and probably nobody will walk through there in the next 100 years. Yeah. You know, you go find a trail and you know, take 100 yards to the left or right someplace. And, that, you know, that could be a pretty good spot that would be unfound for a while.
Unfound until you want it to be, right?
Right.
So, no, right. Not bad. So, that's what I got today. I don't know. Got anything else you want to share with us?
No, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today.
All right. Sounds good, man. All right. So, with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Bird.
birds up in the sky.
One of the most legendary shows in the outdoors is on Waypoint TV. Don't miss Primo's Truth About Hunting, Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.